It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Kelger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, look at what the cat dragged in. It's Gasper.
Gasparino.
Chris Gasper, Boston Globe, in our Town Fair Tire Studios, brought to you by MGH. Hi, Christopher.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
What's how up? You doing?
I'm okay.
MF Gasper.
How do you feel about this Patriots game this week? Pat's Vikings should be a good one.
Should be a good one. I think this could be a tough one for the Patriots, but I think either way, we're going to learn a lot about the Patriots. You know, I think at this point in the year, the thing with the Patriots is we know where they stand in the AFC, and I think it's a little bit of a down year in the AFC, but they're basically as good as anybody in the AFC. I mean, they beat the Chiefs.
You feel that way?
Yeah. They're as good as anybody in the AFC, but we don't judge them by that, right? We judge them by their standard, and it doesn't feel like they're meeting their own standard, at least up to this point, even at 8-3. It feels like everything this year has come to them with difficulty. It doesn't feel like anything's coming easily. This has, I've said this before, but this has the whiff of a 2006, 2013, where the whole thing just feels like you're fighting uphill. And now I think this three-game stretch that starts with the Vikings, they get to sort of define themselves and define their season. I think we'll learn a lot about them with this Vikings game, then at Miami, which is always tough for them, and then at Pittsburgh. Because I think to this point in the year, and you hear it when Brady talks, and he talks about consistency and other stuff, the team doesn't really have an identity. They're just kind of, by their own standards, hanging on. You know, it's weird to say 8-3 is hanging on. But again, by their own standards, it feels like they're still sort of sorting it out and hanging on. And this, I think this Vikings team is good. I don't think Bill's like just blowing smoke. I think that they should be better than their record. Kirk Cousins has thrown some back-breaking pick sixes in some of their losses. The Saints loss, I mean, they held Drew Brees to like 120 yards passing. He threw a back-breaking pick six. They also had a fumble right before the half by Thielen that set up another touchdown. The Bears game got out of hand when he threw a pick six. There's a lot of talent on this Vikings team, and I think they have some of the components you need to match up well with the Patriots. They can get pressure at the front four. Their secondary, assuming Xavier Rhodes plays, is pretty good. They have a good passing attack. Cousins will sling it. They have multiple guys you can throw the ball to. So I think we're going to learn a lot about the Patriots.
Okay, I think they've had only two games all year where they didn't turn it over, the Vikings. I mean, they've been turnover prone.
Yeah, the Cousins has turned the ball over 13 times. The only quarterbacks to turn it over more, Sam Darnold, Blake Bortles, and Big Ben.
Ooh. All right, so let me ask the panel this. We'll learn a lot about this team the next three games. I think we all agree. What's your confidence level? And you want to give me a record, you can. 1-2, 2-1, 3-0, whatever. But just your general confidence level in the team. I'll go first. It's not high. Mine's not high. I'm not a big believer in this team this year. Now, that doesn't mean they still can't go really deep, just because the nature of the AFC and home games and bye weeks and those things, you know, you get that bye, you're automatically in the final four with a home game, which means you're right there. So, like, they could still be in the AFC championship and I still not really be a big believer in the team. But the fact is, I'm not a big believer in the team. So I think they're dropping at least one of these, you know, if not more.
Yeah, I would agree. I think they'll go 2-1. I think they'll drop one of these games. And again, the years that I reference, you know, those are years they made it to the AFC championship game, but it wasn't easy. And, you know, in 2013, when they got there, it was a real struggle. They obviously lost that game. In 2006, they should have won.
Road games.
But they should have lost the game in San Diego. I mean, if Marlon McCree just takes a knee. I mean, that game was we took basically a miracle to win that game. So there are certain years where it just seems like they're behind the eight ball. And this has the whiff of that type of year. They can change that narrative, I think, if they are gangbusters starting on Sunday and in the next three games.
So the three games you're talking about, would you be more surprised if they went 3-0 or 1-2?
3-0.
Me too. Like, I think they're going to lose minimum one. And it would not shock me in the least bit if they went 1-2 in this stretch. If they go 2-1, then, well, that means they beat either Pittsburgh or Minnesota. And my guess would be Minnesota at home, and then they win at Miami and lose at Pittsburgh. Like, you know, that's sort of what my gut is telling me. But I told you, if they go 2 out of 3, but I like the Vikings this weekend.
Gasper, Murray, what's your confidence level?
This game? The Pats are going to win.
Next three.
Oh, the next three? No, they'll lose one of them. Either Miami or Pittsburgh. They're going to lose one of those.
So, just generically speaking, are you a believer in this Patriots team?
Overall, no. Comparatively speaking to other Patriots teams, no.
Yeah, and see, that's what we measure them on,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, I
how could you be?
But for the rest of the NFL, especially with what happened last night, where I thought the NFC was more top-heavy and the Saints come down to earth, no, I think, look, they're in the conversation of five or six best teams.
Gasper, if this doesn't feel like the same team, why is it? What is it?
Yeah, I think that it has to do with not being able to be consistent on offense. And I think that has to do with injuries. Rob Gronkowski hasn't been quite the same guy. Brady hasn't been the same guy we're used to seeing. He hasn't been bad, but he certainly hasn't been the MVP of the league. You're talking about a year where there's been prolific offense across the league, an explosion of offense. And I know the Patriots are top 10 in the league in offense, but does it feel like they're really participating in this explosion with
no.
the Chiefs?
Of course not.
And with the Rams, and I know the Saints got silenced last night, but overall the Saints? Does it feel like their offense is on that level?
No, because those three teams are averaging 35 points a game. The Patriots are 28. Like, that's a big gap. They're not on that level offensively.
Gasper, your thoughts on the Kareem Hunt thing? I don't know if you've seen the video.
I have not seen the video.
Got up on the story, so is there anything you have to add on it?
No, I would just say, you know, again, I have not seen the video, but just what I've heard of the story, it sounds like it was somewhat of a similar situation to what happened to Joe Mixon of the Bengals when he was in college at Oklahoma. He got into a verbal dispute with a woman that he really, you know, was not familiar with, didn't know, at a food place. And he ended up just cold cocking her. We could not do. It got caught on video. And, you know, Oklahoma sort of gave him the light touch. But it, the whole thing got dragged up again when he went through the draft process. And so it sounds like, you know, from the initial part of it, it's similar to that. And that's, you know, the biggest difference, obviously, is Mixon did that in college. And in college, they have those cover-ups down pat. In the NFL, this day and age, that's not the type of thing that you can just brush under the rug when you do that. So I would assume there would be some sort of consequences here looming for Kareem Hunt.
So the key delineator there being the video.
I mean, there's no way he can't get suspended. Like, well, the video's going to come out and the league says, oh, no, we're going to let this go?
Question is when.
Right, exactly. When and for how long? When and for, to me, and the when is the bigger part of it right now. Like, do they try to push this thing off into the off season and say, you know, we'll deal with it. We got to investigate it. It's going to take a while. We'll deal with it in February.
Well, if they do that, I mean, couldn't they just throw him on the exempt list while they're doing that? And then he's not playing. You know, if you're on the exempt list, the commissioner's exempt list, then you're not on the field.
Okay, back to your thoughts. We've given away the wrestling tickets, so please stop calling on that. You want to call on sports? By all means, 617-779-0985.
These guys get their Stones tickets or what?
No, they keep trying.
Trying, Gasp.
Justin and Gardner on the Hunt thing. Go ahead, Justin.
Gentlemen, how you doing today?
Good.
Well, it was just kind of touched on about the whole Hunt thing with me. It doesn't seem like it's a domestic assault. So I don't think like a ban like Ray Rice has is coming down. You know, you can pretty much take out hitting a woman right out of the scenario there. It's more of just an assault. It doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman. It's an assault that was caught on tape.
No, I disagree with you.
I mean,
no. The fact he kicked her, kicked her,
and it does matter that it's a woman.
And as Bob Soucy pointed out, it was a good point. He came back two or three times. Like, and there were people trying to restrain him, push him away, and he kept coming back.
But people made this distinction that it's not technically domestic because it wasn't his girlfriend or his wife. He didn't know her. So that's not domestic violence. It's just
violence.
It's just assault, but it's obviously worse because it's a woman.
Violence against a woman. So, yeah. I mean, whatever you call it, I don't know. I can't believe that there would be any lighter or heavier or treated any differently because of that. That makes no sense.
I mean, given what's out there now, like, I don't know why this just dawned on me. There's no way they can let him go.
No way.
There's no way. The league can't do that. Like, the amount of heat that they will take, and I'm not saying that that's the reason they should do it either. You do what's right.
It's so hypocritical. I mean, tell me on the Reuben Foster thing, because I've followed it not at all. I just haven't, but there's no video. But He has, which was a domestic violence thing.
I think there were three occasions with Reuben Foster, weren't there?
There were at least two with this woman, two in 9 months, and then he was arrested for something else. But two times in 9 months, and originally the original one, she ended up recanting when they sort of went to prosecute him, but it was the same woman that he's been associated with, this last one in Tampa.
And he's playing, and there's outrage, but it's not over the top because why? There's no pictures of it, which is just, that's not right. I mean, violence against women is violence against women, whether you can see it or not. But it feels like it takes a video there for the public outcry and for the heavy hammer to come down on these guys. So that's what kills Hunt is there's now video.
Absolutely, because otherwise they're just visually there's doubt. Well, we haven't seen it. We read it, but we haven't seen it. In this, once this comes out, how does the league just do nothing?
They won't do nothing. The question is when they do it, and for how long. And if he's playing playoff games, oh boy, oh boy. I'm already annoyed by the crying I'm going to hear from Patriots fans about it. I'm already, you haven't done it yet, but you're in trouble for something you haven't done. You know, all this stuff about, how do you get 4 games for deflating footballs, but you're allowed to play, blah, blah, blah. I'm just ready for it. I'm getting myself ready for it. But that's not the only thing on the table. Gasper wants to talk some Celtics and the problems with that team so far this season. We'll take your calls, and Stones tickets are coming up later this hour. Your last chance, Murray. Good luck. Your last chance, kid.
If I don't get these tickets, oh yeah, I'm gonna fade away. Tickets, tailgates, they're just a call away. They're just a call away. Come on, Billy, pick up.
That's all coming up. Don't go anywhere.
The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm going into my fifth year after this, so, I would love to start. I don't look at myself, and nothing is wrong with it. Being a sixth man, coming off the bench, but I don't really look at myself that. But that's not my main focus. Of course, I want to win. I like when I've been a winner, winner all my life, coming through your program and then being with the Boston Celtics. I like winning. I don't know how I can adjust if I try to take a starting job somewhere, but I'm playing for an awful team, and we're not winning no more. It's just like something that I don't think that I can adjust to, being around people that's okay with just, losing. But at the same time, it's like, I still want to keep my options open. I feel like I've seen a lot in these 4 years, how much a business this is. And I'm just, I think I should get everything that I deserve. Like I said, I've seen a lot, and I feel like I'm gonna get everything I deserve. That's all.
So there's Terry Rozier of the Celtics this week with the Rick Pitino podcast. Says he doesn't see himself as a reserve. It's not how he views himself. Been a winner his whole life, Maz. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, except college and pro.
except game seven last year.
And he's going to get what
maybe
he deserves.
Maybe he made a couple more threes. You know, he could have been a winner.
He's going to
get to the finals.
He's going to get what he deserves. But is this another Celtic, Chris, who doesn't understand his role?
Yeah.
Is that the issue?
It is. I mean, to me, the whole thing, it's endemic of their whole issue, which is there are too many guys that are sort of in a position in their careers where they're trying to establish themselves, build their brands, make their mark in the NBA. And when you're doing that, you don't have the mindset to be able to dim your individual brilliance so that the team can shine the brightest. That is their problem. I mean, guys are not accepting roles. They're just, and part of it is the roles aren't defined. I think the Celtics have done this sort of mealy mouth to start the season where they're not just telling somebody flat out, like, this is your role. Like, Terry, you know, your role is you're going to play 18 to 20 minutes a night, and that's what it is. And that's what, and if Kyrie goes down, then you'll be in the starting lineup, or if Kyrie is hurt or gets a rest night, then you'll get 30 minutes.
You're saying Stevens hasn't done a good enough job of putting these guys in their proper place?
I don't think he has.
I'm with Chris.
And I don't think he's been able to get them to buy into it. I think they're trying to placate and appease everybody, and it's not working for the team. And I've talked about this with you guys when Gordon Hayward was in the starting lineup. And it's not all Gordon Hayward's fault. It was just the way that the offense was being run. It just seemed like instead of collectively we're going to figure out what we can do to generate offense, it was just like taking turns. It's like, okay, this possession, this is your turn, Tatum. You know, you're going to get an ISO. Okay, Kyrie's going to do his thing now. All right, you know, now we have to get Gordon Hayward a pick and roll possession because he's really good at that. It just seemed like it was trying to placate and appease everybody instead of saying there's someone's going to have to sacrifice. And if anything, this team has given me more appreciation for the 2008 Celtics, the 07-08 team, because those guys did sacrifice. And you had a guy like Ray Allen who had to sacrifice the most.
But they were veterans.
But right,
exactly.
Chris, they had
exactly.
They had all made their money. They'd yep. all won their MVP yeah. awards. So that was the only thing left for them. So they were in a better position to sacrifice. These kids are going for their contracts and their brands and their awards. And yeah. so they're in a little bit of a harder spot.
They don't get it. I hate to say it, they don't get it.
Or they don't know how. Even if they want to get it, they don't know how to do that. You know, they don't know how to be able to be in a circumstance where it's not, okay, I'm definitely going to get these shots. You might be in a circumstance where for three quarters, the team isn't really calling on you much offensively, but all of a sudden the fourth quarter or the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, they need you to hit a couple of big shots. It seems like these guys don't know how to do that.
And that's why I hated, just sorry to cut you off, Maz, this is why I hated to hear Danny Ainge on with Tutcher and Rich earlier this week saying there's no interest in Kendrick Perkins because they need someone like Perk to get into that locker room and yell at everybody because the coach isn't going to do it.
So I love Perk, but I think someone like Perk is fine. Actual Kendrick Perkins, he's too far removed from being
a factor.
Yeah, he's useless as a player now, but as a yeller, still better than anything you're going to get out
of the field. He's a 14 or 15 year veteran, though. Kyrie, they need that.
But when's the last time he played a role? Like 3 years ago?
That's been a while. I mean, he's done.
Right, so that's you got to be a little closer to the action than that, I think. Why isn't Marcus Smart? Why can't they accept Marcus Smart as that? Because that's what it feels like he's doing.
Yeah, he's trying, certainly. He's you know, he speaks his mind without reservation, and I certainly respect that. But I think there's a little bit of an issue. If the other guys sort of look at that guy, and they love his heart, they love his hustle, but they also know he's not, you know, one of the best players on the team.
He's limited.
It's a little harder.
And again, the guy, you know, ended up costing himself games because he punched out yes. a mirror or whatever it was in a hotel in L.A. because of
an Instagram ass model.
Yeah, right.
So what should the Celtics do?
I like this. I think go for a while with the starting lineup with Morris and Smart in it because those are guys with defined roles and they know their roles and they know what they're about and ride that. And you're in a situation now where both Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown, when he's healthy after this tailbone injury subsides, both those guys come off the bench. I think you get more out of Tatum that way and you sort of force people to accept roles. And just because it's this way right now, that doesn't mean that it's the way it's going to be 20 games from now. But I think you're at a point in the season where you're looking up at Toronto, who won again last night, and you just can't afford to throw away these games and say, well, you know, at game 48, it's all going to work out. No, I mean, let's win the games in front of us now and get sort of some, get rolling. This next, like, stretch of nine games,
it should be nine.
You got to win them all.
I mean, basically, Detroit's the only team in there with a winning record, so they can really make some hay. So do that, and then worry about placating egos and other stuff later.
Yeah, and the coach or whoever has to say, just shut up and do what I tell you. Like, that's really what it comes down to. I told you, there's a couple of good stories out there. Himmelsbach had one in the last couple of days, sort of outlining what their problems were, and Jay King had one in The Athletic. And there's a quote in there from Marcus Morris that struck me, where they were talking about his improvement this year. Because the Celtics went to Morris and said, listen, different kind of team this year. We're going to need you to rebound. We're going to need you to pass a little bit more. And Morris has done it. He's done it. His rebounds are up.
He's leading rebounder.
He's not shooting with the same frequency. And you know, when he was asked about it, you know what he said? Me as a veteran, I've been in the league 8 years. The last two, I've averaged 14 points, so I can obviously score. But what we're trying to do is shoot to a high level. Translation, it's not about me anymore. It's about the team.
And that
so you
was
have a
guy.
Veteran guy that gets it. But these young guys, they don't get it.
But that was a guy last year. Remember, Morris complained about not being in the starting lineup, right? And so this year, he just accepts his role. And, oh, look at it. Ironically, where does he land? Starting lineup. So I think that's a guy that has sort of been able to, if there's any hope there for guys being able to come to terms with roles, I look at Marcus Morris and say he's an example of how you can have a guy who was unhappy because he wasn't starting last year. And now he was the guy that gave him the whole bench with attitude nickname. Like, he totally bought in to the reserve thing, right? So if you can get him to do that, you should be able to get some of these younger, more impressionable guys to do that eventually.
Yeah, no. Rozier's going to win the scoring title this year.
And Brown's already got 6 championships in his back pocket. So it's getting through to these young guys. I would agree with that. Real quick, if the Celtics get it all in order, and if they click on all cylinders and fulfill what we thought they were going to be, are they still better than Toronto?
I think they are, yeah. I do. I mean, Toronto's been better than people thought. I think a lot of people sort of slept on Kawhi Leonard, didn't think he was the same guy. And I think Danny Green has been huge for them. Exactly what they needed. 3-and-D guy with experience as a winner, and a guy who's a quiet leader. So Toronto's good. I think Toronto's better than they were last year. But if the Celtics get clicking on all cylinders and they figure out roles and rotation, I think they're deeper and they're better than the Raptors.
It's close. Might come down to home court. Might. I mean, if the Celtics have to win in Toronto.
Celtics have lost their last 13 games in Toronto. So home court is huge. These regular season games are big. I'm sorry. I want game 7 in Boston, not Toronto, if I'm a Celtics fan.
I mean, if that series, who's the best player in that series?
Kawhi.
He's better than Kyrie Irving?
Yeah, I think he is because he's a much better defensive player. You know what? Two-way player.
I think so, too.
So now all of a sudden, Maz likes Kawhi Leonard Murray.
I told you that game in Boston opened my eyes.
Before,
we used to 3 players in the NBA.
Yeah.
Now I feel like we're up to 9.
No, but all I know is when we used to put Kawhi Leonard on that list, he'd be like, meh.
Yeah, he thought Kawhi was like a dog.
No, you're right, Murray. I used to like 3 players. Now I like about 9. I'm softening.
Progress.
He's showing growth.
I am. I'm growing.
He's not as stubborn. It's like the young Celtics. He's learning and growing.
I'm growing as a human being, and you're marking me for it, Murray.
Back to your phones, as promised. Billy in the car. Go ahead, Billy. Billy! Okay. Calls back. Eddie and Mattapan on the domestic violence thing. Go ahead, Eddie. Maybe these calls aren't up? Eddie? No?
Oh, boy, we're having a screener issue again.
It's okay. It's all right. You can call us back, 617-779-0985. It's time for the update anyway. So
yeah, we get the Stones tickets coming anyway, so I'm going to hang up.
We'll stay on time. We'll make everybody happy. Keep the clock pristine. Stones tickets coming up in about 20 minutes, Murray, so start dialing.
Wait a minute. Did you say the phones aren't working, though?
Come on. Am I hot enough? Am I rich enough? Am I rough enough to win a pair of these? Come on, Billy, make me the winner. I'll get the ticks. We'll go to dinner. You're my favorite on the radio. Give the tickets to me. Come on, Billy. Hello? 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 Hello?
Here's Murray's update, then more your phones with Gasper.
I want
Gasper's opinion on the Palace queue. I don't know if he thinks it's over, or what all this Josh McDaniels stuff means. That's coming up after the update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. On an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope?
House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I think it was so touch and go last year. After the season, last season. I mean, a lot of people want to pretend that, you know, the Palace Q and, you know, all the tension wasn't going on. It was going on. And I think it was so bad at a certain point, especially between Brady and Belichick, over Guerrero, that the crafts were like, we have to prepare because Bill might just say, you know what? Screw this. I'm done. You guys deal with it. I'm not dealing with this anymore. The Garoppolo, this and that, I'm out of here. And so they were like, well, we have to have a fallback plan or else we're going to be the Giants again. So they did what they had to do to keep Josh here. But I think Belichick and Brady have come to a detente over Alex Guerrero, and that's really what Brady, all he wanted was, can you stop busting my balls and just give me my trainer? I'm 41 years old. I've gotten here for a certain reason because of this trainer, the godfather of my kids. Just leave me alone. And I think finally Bill acquiesced, gave him something, and they've been okay since then.
Chris, do you agree that Belichick and Brady have smoothed things over and okay?
Yeah, I think that they've smoothed it over enough. And I thought this was going to happen. I said this to you guys a number of times in the offseason. That was the easy time for them to dig in and hold their ground and hold their positions. But once it got to the season, when it's actually a situation where it could cost you games or be a major distraction or whatever, I thought that they would, as Greg said, you know, detente there. You know, they sort of came to an agreement and they're able to coexist. Now, do I think the relationship is what it was before? No, I don't. But, you know, they both are more interested in winning than, you know, mutually assured destruction. Let me put it that way.
Do they still meet one-on-one Tuesday nights before they put in the game plan Wednesday mornings?
I would assume so. I don't know for a fact, but I would be surprised if they did not meet. I don't know that.
Okay, go on. I just interrupted there.
Yeah, no, I agree with Greg. I mean, I thought from the jump that McDaniels was there as Belichick insurance, you know, if he decided to walk away or if Brady made some sort of threat and they had to make a choice, and again, between Brady and Belichick, and they said, okay, well, you know, Josh and Tom is better than Bill and Brian Hoyer, you know, so you can sort of look at it however you want to look at it. So that makes a lot of sense, and you bring him back in that regard. Now, I know you guys had a caller, I was listening, who called and said that was it Bob from Easton?
Bob from Easton.
I was listening the other day. He came on and said the whole thing now is that Josh is trying to push out Bill.
Yep.
I don't know anything about that. It sounds like a delicious storyline.
What a tasty
yeah, I mean,
little one, huh?
It's a great take.
It's a true cue.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great take. I don't know anything about that. I just think Josh really likes Baker Mayfield and push for Baker Mayfield here. They didn't have the capital to make it happen. That he can go to Cleveland and coach that guy. Here's the other thing. People have said, you know, Aaron Rodgers or Baker Mayfield, you know, which one would you rather coach? Believe it or not, if I'm Josh, I'd rather coach Baker Mayfield for this reason. If you go to Green Bay and you don't win with Aaron Rodgers in the first 2 years, then people look at you the same way they look at McCarthy now. You get no credit. Aaron Rodgers is fully developed. You show up there, you should win. It doesn't matter. All you can be is an impediment. You can't help Aaron Rodgers. Baker Mayfield is a rookie. He's played well, but it's 1 year. You go there, you turn that guy into a perennial Pro Bowler. You put the Browns in the playoffs or even sniffing the playoffs, they'll build a statue of you in Cleveland. So when you look at it from that standpoint, I mean, there's a lot more to gain in Cleveland than there is in Green Bay.
So do you read, again, that leads to the question, how do you read Josh putting his name back out there? That Bill's saying and things are settled in Foxborough, and so there's no room for Josh here, so that's why he goes, or anything else?
I read it as Josh sees the Baker Mayfield situation as a really good opportunity for him, and he knows that his next chance is probably his last chance, and, you know, do you want to take over, and you have 42-year-old Tom Brady, who's going to be really good for another year or two, and then you have to figure it out? Or do you want to go coach Baker Mayfield for the next 10 years?
Do you think he regrets the Indy decision?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know, but the way Andrew Luck's playing, like, I'll be honest with you, this is just my opinion. I always thought that a big part of him getting cold feet was he wasn't sure about Luck. And if you're going to walk into a situation your second time around in the NFL and you don't have the quarterback or there's a lot of uncertainty there, the quarterback is the biggest piece. There's so many guys that look at Pete Carroll in Seattle. People thought that guy was a clown and a complete buffoon. And he found Russell Wilson, and it sort of changed the way people felt about him for the most part, you know, halo withstanding and all that. But that's what it is. And so if you're Josh, you got to do that calculus. And I think he was nervous about Andrew Luck and his ability to come back. So if he knew, if you could, you know, go back now and he said, I know Andrew Luck's going to play like this. Do I think he takes that job? Yep. I think he does. If he knew that Andrew Luck was going to be this Andrew Luck, I think he would have taken the job.
The quarterback thing's got to be a huge factor.
It's huge. And when you looked at Indianapolis...
Even coming back here, that he believed that they were going to get a quarterback. And then they didn't. Unless you count Eddie Etling.
I don't.
We're crying out loud. Who the hell would count him? So, you know, so now it's, all right, well, we didn't get the quarterback. What am I sticking around here for? I'm going to go to a place that has one. And I can't say I blame him.
Okay. So there, that's on the table. Everything else. All right. Some of the guys that dropped off before are trying again. Billy in the car, are you there?
Yeah, what's up? Can you hear me?
Yes, Billy, what do you got?
Are you effing kidding me, Felger? You need to go back to Milwaukee, man. What is all this crap? You're going to seriously compare. I understand I'm a big Pats fan,
no,
but I'm not a Pats homer. Hold on, definitely not.
Yeah, no.
They definitely cheated.
You call him just as you see him, Billy. Go ahead.
But here's the thing. You're going to compare what's happening with domestic violence with what Brady did, saying, they're going to get calls. Are you kidding me? What is wrong with you?
I think you're already doing it.
Doing what?
That. Doing the thing that I said you were going to do, which is, how do they give Brady four games? No,
I'm saying it's ridiculous for you to even say that, is what I'm saying.
You say it every time. When Greg Hardy was playing, you said, how does Greg Hardy play when he did that and Tom Brady only deflated footballs? I hear it every time. There's a suspension for something or a non-suspension. If the league goes light on someone for a domestic violence or an off the field, how does Zeke Elliott get away with that? And Tom Brady got four games. I hear it all the time. And if this Kareem Hunt is playing in the playoffs against you, just wait. It's coming.
Do you think that guy realized that he was pulling the rug out from under his own feet?
Probably
not. The fact that he says, you know, the don't even compare the two. They're not comparable. So, but Patriots fans do that. It's like they are not. Of course, Kareem Hunt should be suspended. Who's arguing that? Yes, it's you whiners who always say, "How come he doesn't get suspended?" Because they're totally unrelated. They're not connected at all. You connect them.
Here's an update too. Dan Graziano of ESPN tweeted minutes ago, told the Chiefs sent Kareem Hunt home from the facility today upon learning of the release of the video and pending further action. Most likely short-term resolution is that Hunt would be placed in the commissioner's exempt list pending a final decision, but we will see.
So, like, this is annoying. They knew the story. The police reports were there. And they let it totally go until now there's video, and it's like, uh-oh.
Now we got to do something.
Now we got to do something because there's pictures. And it's like, nothing has changed, except now people see the pictures, and now you react?
Well, the one thing I would say, and I'm not defending the Chiefs, but again, and not like I have experience in this, but normally what happens in these situations, the player tells you one thing, right? There is no video. There's the police report. There's the player's side of it. We all know from Doug Williams that, you know, these NFL teams aren't too eager to speak to the alleged victims. So the player says, this is what happened. They describe it. Doesn't sound that bad. To them, to the team, who's like, we want this guy to stay on the field. You see the video, and you're like, oh, that's 180 degrees from what this guy told us.
But didn't Ray Rice tell Goodell he struck her in the elevator?
I think he did, but you still see that video, and it's
okay,
like,
okay, but it's like, so, but that's...
And by the way, I'm not defending the NFL on that. I'm just saying, in this particular circumstance, what ends up happening, when you see the video, and you see that the player 100% lied to you, and of course, you just talked about with the fans, right? you believe what you want to believe.
Hold on.
Okay.
Ray Rice didn't lie.
Why are we talking about Ray Rice? I'm talking about Kareem Hunt.
I thought you just mentioned Ray Rice.
No. I'm talking about Kareem Hunt.
But what I'm saying is, it's related in that Ray Rice told Goodell he struck her in the elevator, and Goodell gave him two games. Then the video came out showing him striking her, and it goes to six. Nothing changed. He didn't lie.
No, you're right.
He admitted to it. So it's
absolutely.
The pictures are the thing that gives it that emphasis, which is, it's just wrong. It should be the act.
You're right.
You shouldn't have to see the video.
I don't disagree with you at all.
And so, but this is what I'm saying with Kareem Hunt, and it turns the teams into complete hypocrites.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the teams, much like a fan base, they're biased and they believe what they want to believe. So player, you know, explains the incident to them. In this case, Hunt, you know, explains the incident to them, right? And I don't know, maybe they did see the video because it sounds like the video was evidence that the police had. But I'm just saying it gets explained to them one way and they're like, oh, that doesn't sound that bad. Yeah, we believe it because they want to believe it. And now the video comes out and you look at it, it's 180 degrees from what the guy told you and it's terrible and you have no choice.
Long commercial-free segment is next. It's your last chance, Murray.
Oh, come on.
It's your last chance, everybody. Your last chance. Murray has somehow put together about 30 different allusions here to different stones. It's been impressive.
Give me the tickets.
Give me that last pair of tickets. Come on, Velga. This is my shot here. Come on. I gotta go.
Last chance for Stones tickets. Don't leave your radio if you want them.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stones tickets coming up in a few minutes. First of all, Gasper, give me another couple minutes on Patriots-Vikings. Key matchup, key to the game.
I think the key matchup is how they handle the slot. If you look at Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, they're both in the top 10 in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus, in snaps out of the slot. And that was one way that the Vikings attacked the Saints. They kept putting Diggs or Thielen in the slot there, and they attacked P.J. Williams. Now, P.J. Williams got him back with a pick six, but they were able to make some hay there. And so that's one of those things. How do they handle that? Is it just Jonathan Jones? Is it Duke Dawson? If you move Gilmore over there, then that pretty much tells them that you're playing, you know, man, or you're playing, you know, two man with the safeties behind it. Because I don't really know if Gilmore can play sort of his own defense from the slot. So I think that's one way they're going to try and manipulate. How do the Patriots handle it when those guys are in the slot?
Okay, how about the Vikings defense? Can they slow you? Do they have the pieces?
Yeah, because they can rush the passer with four. I mean, you know, Daniil Hunter, tied for second in the league in sacks. You have Sheldon Richardson. We've all seen him from his time with the Jets. He's a guy that can be disruptive in the middle. Everson Griffin. And I thought Phil Perry on NBC Sports Boston had a great story today about, you know, mugging, this way that they get into the A-gaps there with multiple guys. And you have to figure out who's coming and who's not. Harrison Smith, the safety, is a fantastic blitzer, so they're really good at bringing pressure.
How's Harrison Smith in coverage? Can he cover Gronkowski?
No. I mean, I think you can take advantage of him. I think sometimes he's overeager, and you can get him on the play action, which the Patriots have been very, very good at this year. I don't think one-on-one he can cover Gronkowski. I think he's a little short for that. But they're a good team. You know, they usually don't defensively, it seems like, beat themselves a lot. You know, like, you'll see one of their guys get beat. Like, maybe this rookie, you know, cornerback, Holton Hill, or if Mackenzie Alexander, who I know is on the injury report too, if he's out there and these guys just get beat, like, you'll see that. But you don't see them just sort of blowing and busting a lot of coverages. Like, a guy might be in a position where he gets beat or he was overly aggressive and bit up, but it's not a situation where it looks like the other guys, you know, one guy's doing one thing and the other guys are like, what's this guy doing? We have no idea what the call is, that type of thing. They're a good defense. They are, you know, and I feel like they should be even better than they are. But I mean, they're top 10 against the pass, against the rush, you know, points allowed. They're number one in red zone defense, number one in third down defense.
So why I keep asking, why are they only 6-4?
I think it's the turnovers. I think it's because Cousins has turned the ball over. And I mentioned those two games, Chicago and New Orleans. If you look at the turning point of those two games, he throws pick sixes. So those are points that are on the board that the defense didn't give up. And I think that's been part. Also, they have no running game. They haven't really been able to get the running game going. So I like
their
talent.
They have like zero running game.
Yeah, I like their talent. They're 30th in the league. I like their talent. They should be better. And that's what's interesting to me. I do believe what Belichick's saying about their team, and I think Zimmer's a good coach, but it feels like they should be better than they are. You look at the four losses, you know, the Buffalo one, there's no way they should have lost that game to Buffalo and Josh Allen, right? The Rams game, I thought that was one of the better games of the year out in L.A. I don't really demerit them in any way for that. The Saints game, they outgained them. They should have won that game. The turnovers sort of killed them. And the Chicago game was a game, again, that pick six for Eddie Jackson was a huge, huge play in that game that turned it in the Bears' favor.
Mass, to me, the Pats got to get pressure.
Why do you like the Vikings, Mass?
I think the Vikings have more talent, more balance all the way around. Now, the running thing is a problem, but they get so many weapons on offense, they're hard to defend. Typically, the Patriots have trouble with these kinds of teams where there's more than one or two options. On this one, you get three or four. You know, the two receivers, Rudolph the tight end, Cook can catch the ball out of the backfield. But everything I have read in the last day especially tells me Cousins is a completely different quarterback when you get pressure on him. And so this leads to turnovers and pick sixes and things of the like. So can the Patriots get home with their guys? Like, the Patriots' defensive line against the Vikings' offensive line, to me, is probably going to determine the game. I don't think the Patriots are going to get 35 points in this game. Not but the way they've been playing.
Not all offensively. Now, Kirk Cousins might
well,
get
so
some
right,
points. Yeah.
Right. So yeah. Let's stick to the Patriots' offense. Like, I don't think they're getting 35 in this game. So this feels to me like a, you know, one way or the other, 27-24, like that kind of game.
Chris, do the Pats need home field to go to the Super Bowl?
I think they do. This year, I think they do. It just feels like that to me. You know, the offensive efficiency is not what it's been. You're relying on Josh Gordon. He certainly has delivered for you, but I still think the receiving core is a little bit thin. You don't know what type of health or performance you'll get with Gronkowski back on the injury report. You know, my guy Sony Michel has made you guys look bad, but there's still the injury situation with him.
What?
Yeah. He's, you know.
I'm sorry, how has he made us look bad?
I mean, he's, you know, the way he's established himself running the football and the difference that he makes. He's a key part of the offense.
Okay, difference like, compared to who?
Well, you can't even say that with a straight face.
What are you talking about? Yeah, yes I can. He's a key part of the offense this year. They need him.
Difference compared to who?
Overall, just the fact that they can threaten teams by running the ball and rip off some chunk plays.
As opposed to
Let me put it as simply as I can, Mez. He doesn't suck. Not even close.
No, true. I would agree. He does not suck. He doesn't blow either.
Yeah.
But again, he makes a difference as opposed to when who's in there?
James White. Because they can't ask White to take on that workload. That's the other part about this. I mean, James White is up to 137 touches in 11 games. Do you know that James White, up to this year in a regular season, had never had 100 touches in a season?
So let me ask
you a
question.
They're going to run this guy into the ground.
No, but hold on. So
5 minutes to go. You're down 4 points. Which back's in the backfield?
Well, what am I doing? Am I passing or running?
You tell me. Who do you want in the backfield?
If I'm passing, I'm throwing it to James White. If I need to run the football, Sony Michel's in the game.
See, my answer is James White either way.
Me too. But either way, for that thing that you're saying, to take the load off James White and help complement, they had to spend the 21st pick in the draft or whatever.
Well, that's a different scenario. Like, if you want to talk about value, you know, value picks, and I think it was 31, that's a different discussion than does the guy suck? Does he blow? Can he contribute? Is he a big part of the offense? That's a different discussion.
Okay. I never said he sucked or blew.
I did.
Blew.
I took it back, though.
I just think it's you don't need to spend the 31st pick at the draft for that. And I would even say that he's been outperformed by many guys taken lower than him. It's already
I think that's fair. I mean, Kerryon Johnson's been really good.
I like the kid in Denver. I keep saying the Denver guy.
Philip Lindsay, yeah, those guys have been good. But the Patriots this year, I think more than in the past, need a running back who, when he takes the ball, is like a legitimate threat running the football because they need to open it up with that play action.
I just
thought
you
think
were gonna,
he's contributed. And he's big.
I thought you were going to give me Cordarrelle Patterson. Like, no. Better than when Cordell Patterson's in there. And I was going to say, they're better if I'm in there over Cordell Patterson.
All right, Gasper, thanks for coming in, kid.
Good to see you guys.
Good to see you.
See Chris. Good luck on the tickets, Maz.
Here it is, Murray, last chance.
Oh, my God. Hold on.
I'm going to say it one last time and one time only. I want to move like Jagger, but really, I want to do blow like Richards.
I just get me backstage with them. That's all. I'm a cold Italian pizza. I could use a lemon squeezer. And those tickets, Felger. Come on, you monkey man. Give me them.
Michael Felger. Tony Maserati. Felger and Maz.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150. Win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at TheBestFord.com.
Go to www.bestfording.com/special event disclosures for full details.